Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, James Williams. Now, a lot of you may remember him from his past days. I think he worked for, what was it, Yacht Needs, Yachting Pages. He's had quite a few different roles in his life and then sort of disappeared for a couple of years. How are you, James?
I'm very well, Rhea. How are you, my darling?
Good. Well, welcome. I mean, you sort of dropped off my radar as well for a while. And now here you are. You're back and you're better than ever. For those that don't actually know you, can you give us just a little bit of your history?
Yeah, sure. It came up actually on my social media today. I've been in yachting now for the best part of 15 years. I got into yachting. I originally was touring with bands in my 20s, so I'd do 6 months of that. And then I took a contract in Gran Canaria, doing a couple of Heineken tours with a band there. And I ended up on a yacht. And this yacht was called Mustang. It was a 28-meter Camper Nicholson sloop. It's like the baby sister build of Georgia. But this boat, it had had a re-rig in Mallorca, and I got on it in Gran Canaria for the ARC rally. And on day six in the middle of the Atlantic, the forestay snaps. It's my first time on a sailing yacht. So I'm on a super yacht, middle of the Atlantic, with this chain reaction of what I can only describe as destruction going on around the boat. And I can remember sitting there thinking, well, this is it. I'm going to be in a life raft living off a block of Kendall mint cake a day. And so, you know, no sailing use. This is before STCWs, I think, and anything like that. I just got on this yacht, and just to say I could sail, I'd sailed across the Atlantic. So when we got to Antigua, well, went to St. Lucia and then to Antigua to have the mast re-stepped there. But obviously, I'd spend a lot of time just day working around other boats. And I became sort of a bit of a guy who could go down to customs and argue with the customs guys. I'd take him a bottle of rum and get a part through. And I'd go back to the captain and he'd say, have you done that? I've had another guy trying for 3 weeks to get it. And I just sort of quickly learned the suppliers on Antigua that were obviously relevant to the yachts. I met someone who I'll always have a lot of esteem for in Chris Gartner, who was the captain on Maltese Falcon at the time, and he's Black Pearl now. He was always very supportive of giving me day work because they'd all seen this boat limping into English Harbour with no mast on it, looking absolutely knackered. So anyway, so I spent a season in Antigua, got myself in a few scrapes because that's just basically what happens to yacht crew when they go to Antigua for the first time, you know. And I came back to Bristol, where I'm from in the UK, and I got a job at Yachting Pages for Steve Crow. Steve's a really hard-working bloke, actually, who'd started it from nothing. And I think from there I did 4 good years for Yachting Pages, and built up a network of, you know, when you work for a company like that, you're speaking to everyone about advertising. And I used to love it because I would be, one minute I'd be phoning a maritime security guy, and then the next minute I'm phoning a yacht agent, and I'm learning all the time. I'm just this constant. Yeah. You know when you watch like a football manager like Bobby Robson, say how Jose Mourinho, you always used to be pestering him in the dressing room, like asking questions and being a bit of a nuisance. That was me, basically, to super yacht media. And I learned a lot, and I established some good relationships with a guy who stands out. Ken Hickling was a really good mentor at the time when he was back in his Axo Nobel days. And I learned. And after 4 years of it, I wanted a change. And Tony Stout came to me about the whole Yacht Needs platform that had just launched and the app thing. And it was blowing up at this point as a chat and a social platform with listed suppliers. And Tony had a pretty long-term vision of where he wanted to be with it. which was moving it towards a marketplace, which is what he's finally, he's got it out the door now, and it looks pretty good. And that was on a sort of on a subcontractor basis. So it was really my first go at being sort of a subcontractor, where I had my own limited company and I was being used as a consultant for these other businesses who wanted to grow, basically. And Tony was the first example of it as a startup. I did 4 years of that. Last year, then you say, obviously I've dropped off radar. I think everyone dropped off radar during the pandemic. The second it started going on, that's when I said to Tony, I think, you know what, I think I'm not going to phone people and ask for advertising, because businesses didn't know at that point whether they were, you know, even going to be there in the next 6 months. And obviously the way it affected yacht crews and the yachts down to skeleton crew, and it was a really pretty naff thing for the industry to deal with. And what fortunately saved me is going back to the music that got me into yachting and signing a deal with a label, basically as a songwriter and a publisher. So that then gave me a degree of advanced money where I could sit and write songs and basically, you know, do a little bit of work on myself, which we'll get into that in a bit. I had to address a few addiction issues, which I'm quite open about, which I'm glad to say I feel a lot better for. Although I've just given up smoking, really. You need to give up smoking. Because let me tell you, of all the things I may or may not have done in my life, allegedly, smoking is one of the hardest ones to give up, babe. And if you do it, I'd be very proud of you.
Well, you know what? I mean, I don't have any vices aside from, I do smoke probably about half a package of cigarettes a day.
Everyone's got to have a vice. In fact, I would endorse it, but to a certain degree. But anyway, I think that's always just been me, and I've always been very excessive and energetic and all the rest of it. So anyway, having done, it's very close to my ethos now, you know, speaking to crew about mental health and rehab and stuff like that, because it's just one of those things that sort of goes hand in hand with, you give a kid loads of money and chuck him round in the middle of the Caribbean with a decent tip, he's going to come unstuck, you know. It's the law of averages, if anything. But so I did all of that, and then what was great is Matt and Mark Yannicker at Viking, who are, again, I'm a huge advocate of what Viking do. They are a fantastic crew recruitment organisation. They took me out, Matt did, for a round of golf and said, look, the cruise industry has been completely decimated. You think yachting's bad? I mean, cruise ships. I can remember there being a cruise ship in Dover, a Disney cruise ship, had about 6 staff on it, a skeleton staff. Imagine walking around that. It would look like a ghost town. But they... cruise is a big part of Viking's business, as is yachting. But they said, look, the yachting side of things, we're still getting placements and we're still doing that. Would you come and do a year for us? And I did a year for them and went pretty well. They formed some decent partnerships out of it as a result. And then it was time for me really to sort of move back to Bristol and work out what I'm going to do. Still songwriting. And now here I am with a few new opportunities and things that we're doing for crew, which I'm really happy to be part of, talking to you. So, yeah, it's been the last 2 years, I think, for most people, has been a bit of a war of attrition. And hopefully this year we're all going to be through it. I didn't go to Monaco last year, but this year I'm looking forward to very much being back on the boat show scene, representing a couple of the companies that I'm working with. So, yeah. Here we are.
Well, James, I'm going to jump right in and I'm going to ask you, you know, one of the things that is huge in the yachting industry, and a lot of people don't talk about it, but it's there. It's like an unspoken thing. Cocaine. It is massive within the yachting industry. And I know that you actually ended up going to rehab for that exact issue.
Yeah, I did.
Can you tell me, can you take the audience through how that started for you, how you got in to doing coke and sort of how it exploded to the point where you needed and how it impacted your life to the point where you needed to go into rehab.
Okay, yeah. Obviously, Christ, if I think about it, I look at spending 6 months touring with rock bands when you're 23 years old and then spending the other 6 months on yachts and ending up in Antigua. Really, that's the point where I think about it, where I got myself in a lot of trouble. And I would basically, I can remember doing things like, I would be awake for 4 days and then you'd be turning up, day working, and just being an absolute liability, basically. And then needing to really, you know, go home and then working all the time. I was always someone who, the first thing they said to me in rehab when I got in there was, you need to slow the fuck down, because I've always been very animated. And I think a lot of people have naturally assumed that's me on gear, but I'm not. I'm just naturally a very hyperactive sort of person sometimes. So that was good. That was a useful thing. But they said, you probably take cocaine to actually slow yourself down, because your brain goes at 100 mile an hour, James. You're one of the most creative, fast-thinking people that, you know, that we probably had in it. I'm on the spectrum in some way, shape, or form, rear, I'm sure. But,
I was going to say, you know, it sounds something like ADHD, you know, something that's very easily diagnosed nowadays.
And I'm happy to say this. They said, do you realise that you've probably gone your whole life? Because me growing up in the 80s, like things like this for kids and that, no one knows about that at any point. And they said, this is basically what you've got. So I sit down, I do a couple of tests, and yeah, lo and behold, I'm ADHD. So it's like, okay, so how do I manage that? So then they start bringing you into things like mindfulness, meditation. I was always a really good salesperson when I was at Yachting Pages and Yacht Needs. And I generally got on well with my clients. And I think a lot of it is they knew I'd be honest with them and I'd be straight down the line. If they came up with an idea for, I pretty much knew their business. I had some amazing sales training at Yachting Pages from a guy called Andrew Milbourne, who runs a sales training company called Kiss the Fish. And he would come in and he gave us his think like the buyer, sort of training. And another guy was a guy called Matt Kent at Cactus Learning and Development. He also did the same. But I could look at someone's website and go, right, they want to target captains, they're busy time of years, then. They are operating up to that sort of market level. They probably need more relate. And I form already this forensic assumption of the business that I was dealing with. But all the time that I'm running around shows, I work my ass off in the day. And then at night, you would eat at about 7 at night. So by that point, you then get a second wind, because that's the first time you've eaten all day. Then the next thing you know, it's 2 in the morning. And then the next thing you know, it seems like a good idea to smash some badly cut street drugs into your face. Then the next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock. And then the next thing you know, you're on a stand again at 8 o'clock the next morning, feeling utterly miserable. And it amazes me that I was never dismissed by, I made my amends to Steve. I don't have to say too much about the conversation. And I did to Tony and that, but I think I've been very lucky in that I am still, firstly, A, here, and B, that companies appreciate the honesty. And once you are honest about it, the thing that's surprising is you think your world's going to come completely collapsing down. It doesn't. It actually, you find out a lot about your true friends in the industry who, you know, have got a lot of time for you, because they see that you're not a bad bloke. You just like sabotaging yourself every now and again. And I think I was very lucky from that point of view, particularly with what Matt Janica did at Viking, having me over there for a year. He didn't have to do that, but it worked out well for him. He's happy with it. I've got a lot of time and respect for him as a result. As I have a lot of, you know, I mean, there's, I think of companies that have been open with me, that have been supportive. Elizabeth Knowles at Phoenix Hydraulics, she was amazing. She had me go and stay at her place for a month just to get a plan in my head of what I was going to do when I felt it was pretty much rock bottom. And she runs, that's her naturally doing that, but her business, she's she's the best British marine manufacturer of hydraulics, bar none. She's the OEM on Sunseekers, and she runs a brilliant, brilliant operation. But from a personal level, this is when you start, you know, really making friends away from the business side of it.
What was it though, James? What was that final sort of thing that made you go, wow, you know, I can't do this anymore. This is not working. It is time. What was your bottom?
It was at the start of lockdown. Actually, no, it's two things. I think it was getting myself in a situation where it cost me my marriage. It cost me, I had a bad relationship with people like Tony as a result of my behavior, when Yacht Needs is a fantastic company and a fantastic opportunity. And I just didn't know how to deal with it. And I was just exhausted creating drama in people's lives. And I just thought, do you know what? This is just fucking crazy. I can remember getting my record label advance and some of that going up my nose. And then me thinking, Jesus. Because when I was locked down, I was on my own for lockdown. Some people are around their families, whether that's a good thing or not when you're homeschooling. I can remember seeing colleagues trying to homeschool, or like friends in the industry, they're trying to homeschool their kids. I mean, you would have had that, Rhea, I'd imagine. And then you're trying to do a radio show and everyone's brain's just going, and my way of dealing with that was just head in the sand. Basically, yeah. And I spent a good 3 or 4 years doing that, probably burnt out. But yeah, I got to a point, I was like, I've burnt out. And another two guys I would be a huge advocate for, because they're just brilliant people at what they do, is one guy's Tyler Betts and Jason DeBrew, who are Infinity Currency. Tyler's still in the currency side of things. Jay, I think's doing his own thing now. But they were brilliant. They were really, really good in, supporting me. A bit of the money towards rehab, actually, at the time. And, any crew wanting to be looked after, anyone who does that holistically for someone, has got my, well, they've got my vote, whether it's for me or someone else. And it just taught me to be, I suppose, less selfish and more selfless in the things you can do for people, which is, so the good things that come out of it is you go to rehab and they say to you, you know, what are you feeling? I'm like, I don't know, I'm spiritually bankrupt. I mean, my head's going at 100 mile an hour. You know, my head's on some sort of velociraptor in a tourist feeding frenzy at Jurassic Park mode. And I don't know what I feel. They'd ask you every day, what are you feeling? Not what you're thinking. What you're thinking's got you in here. What you're feeling's going to get you out of it. And gradually, things just become a little bit more peaceful. And it's quite nice. So I'm still prone to the occasional tantrum, but it's the occasional Mariah Carey diva fit. But generally, yeah, it's been nothing but a good thing. And then coming out the other side of it and doing consultancy stuff, and then suddenly things fall into place a little bit more, like, you know, the writing stuff. And I'm booked to play two festivals this summer. Who I've written stuff hopefully for. And then the companies that, you know, this the things that I'm doing now, and they're good things for crew, really good things for crew.
What are you doing now? Like, where have you come to now?
Well, I've got to a point this year. So I've started this year. And I had a guy called Di Baldwin, who's an ETO on a yacht. Actually, another good guy, Clark Dyke at Titan Marine, put me in touch with him. He said, you need to speak to James. What Di has done is he's taken his own money and he's invested it in a job board platform, because he's looked at the job market and a couple of things that he doesn't like about other platforms. And now he's at a point where he wants to, you know, monetize it. So it's www.crewin.com, which is free for crew to register to. And it's a job board where we now got a lot of the jobs from the leading agents. We're gonna basically speak with the main trading providers, but we're trying to do a little more than just be a job board, in that if engineers are going to use it to search for jobs, I'm delivering engineer related content to them that doesn't just help them get a job, or when they're posting a job, it helps companies market to the relevant person that they want to onboard. but they can also have, you know, discounts on things like Snap-on tools. Or, you know, I'm looking at ways where we can basically enrich their life, not just by getting them a job, but almost by being a floor-to-ceiling crew concierge, whether it be for their mental health, which obviously I think I'm pretty well equipped to have a chat to them about, whether it's their well-being, whether it's rehabs, whether it's has the boat got a crew gym on board? Can we get them crew gym stuff? Can I go and speak to guys like Ed Thomas at Gym Marine, who does a brilliant job on super yacht gyms? Can we get some tie-in where it benefits the crew? Because normally, I mean, I could chuck a load of products at the crew where it benefits the boat and the owner, but really it's more a case of who's there sort of being a crew PA, not as in a casino crew PA, like a crew PA for documentation. Hey, James, have you got free recommendations for this? Yeah, go and speak to that guy. You know, anything that saves them, where they get a word of mouth recommendation from the business and from people that have worked in the industry, worked on boats, which Di still is doing to an extent, and people who, you know good suppliers that are out there and also want to recommend good crew to the boats with more training, you know, criminal record bureau checks, all sorts of different things. So that's crewing. We've taken it. Di's built it himself, which I take my hat off to, that he's invested his own money and time in doing that. And now he's at a point where we want to obviously generate revenue into it. And I'm not going to do that by charging agents to post jobs. Boats can join it if they want to post their own jobs. I'm going to do it and generate the revenue for it by it becoming a really good environment, like little, eco-environment referral system between good companies. And we're going to try that for 6 months and see how it goes. And that's my project for the next 6 months. It's yachting-wise, along with, I was approached by another good lad, Conrad Empson. He was on Below Deck. He works for a really good security provider called Marine Guard, but they're bringing in a thing called Crew Pass. And this, I mean, this makes sense, really. You think about it with, I mean, you speak to a lot of crew, Rhea, where they've got all the certifications and they've got the training, and they get a job on a boat, and it's if they fit in, really. But, and they've got access to some of the, you know, some of the most exclusive people in the world, but they're not like criminal record bureau checked. And they can have anything going on behind them, and it also helps them to have that in terms of getting B1, B2 visas. The whole travel thing now with vaccine, I mean, I've had my vaccines. Whether you choose not to or you choose to, that's your prerogative. I'm not going to get into the political ins and outs of that. But ultimately, if you're going to go and try and get visas and traveling now, crew are suddenly having to jump through a few more hoops than they used to if they want to work on a yacht. Some don't like it. If you don't like it, that's just the way it is. You're working for someone's yacht. You know, if I couldn't go into a job as a plumber with no plumbing qualification. It's the same sort of principle. You know, you're going to get these different things now for visas and working visas. And with Brexit as well, it's a ball ache for British crew having more than 90 days in the yard. And hopefully someone will find a loophole to that. And there's all these little things that have happened in the last 2 years that I think very much have changed the dynamic of recruit for, especially, I mean, I speak to a lot of recruitment agents and the difficulty they're having in, you know, additional obstacles to get the crew on the boats or to get a new build captain into, you know, Lursen or wherever. If they're British, how are they managing the whole 90-day thing? It's just become a complete, it's just a layer of difficulty that they could have done without. So we want to find ways around it. And I think one of the big ways is by utilising things like Crew Pass, where if you're going to apply for a visa, there's my criminal record bureau check straight away. Bang. You just sped up the whole process for doing it. It's protecting the owner's interests as well. You know, I mean...
See, it's interesting that, you know, I've got to say, just as a human being, if I have somebody in my house to do a job, I want to know that that person isn't going to, for example, touch my
children.
You want
to know you can trust him with the silver.
Take something from my house. Or, you know, I mean, you want to know that they are reputable people. And it just makes sense that if you are having crew on board your multi-million or in some cases billion-dollar yacht, you don't want to make sure that those people aren't criminals.
Well, this is it. So, so along with the crew inside of things, if you use the promotion code Wolfpack, if you want to email me that, if you want Criminal Record Bureau checks for your vessel or your management company who want it within there, then yeah, I get a preferential rate through the crew pass system to actually do it. If you quote, you know, I'll call it Wolfpack. Because if you're naughty, you're out of the wolf pack, so you're off on your own as a little loomboy. It's like you're not on a boat anymore, basically. Yeah. So there's things like that that we're. Here's a good example. This is where it gets risky. So about 18 months ago, I called out a yacht captain. There was a guy who put a post on one of Lars Molin's group about harassment in the industry. Really honest post. He got loads of traction back. I imagine he got quite a few personal messages, as I did when I did what I did, from stewardesses and people about, thank you, someone's actually, you know, because the thing that gets relied on when you've got this in a working environment, it can affect your mental health. And it creates a toxic environment. And the problem is when you work with someone on a boat, if they're harassing you, you can't get more than 50 meters away from them. So, you know, and especially for, you know, women in the industry, I guess, that have been a bit of a victim of it, or, you know, so I called out a guy in Fort Lauderdale about 18 months ago for basically harassment and all the rest of it. He went absolutely turbo about it. When crew pass came in, and it's on public record, you can pull the sheet of someone. So can I share my screen? So what this guy's done, and this is like Broward, so we can do Criminal Record Bureau checks in, I think, about 30-odd different countries for the entire crew. The other good thing is this speeds up the agent's time. If you're giving all the passports over to an agent when you're going into a new country, and then the agent's going to go and get all the clearances and everything, if anyone's got a flag on their passport, it just adds a delay to the whole time and the whole process. So, and a flag normally appears for like, if you're going to go into America, if you've got drugs on your record or something like that, the captain really is going to want to know about it because it just creates a ball ache otherwise. Yeah. This guy's done, we'll call him Jason. Well, his name is Jason, but I won't say his surname. He has basically, he's been charged with what? Petty theft, battery, strike. So what he's done is he's basically a female in a marina. An officer's turned up. I've got the whole arrest report here, basically. After the female denied his attempts hitting on her, he punched her in the face. Right, he took her bike and threw it in the marina, and then the police turn up. And this is a guy who's a captain on a 100-foot yacht.
Wow.
So, and you know, with so what? It makes me ask: how the fuck are people like this out there managing stewardesses and crew? How is that possible in an industry that we work in? With, well, some people might say, how's it possible for someone who's on cocaine to go around a boat show and sell people advertising? But at the end of the day, I was never anyone's worst enemy. But yeah, you know, and so this is a brilliant example of why I am happy to, or possession of cocaine as well, you know, what else? So, yeah, this is why I'm happy to basically be in a position with something like crewing as a job board where I'm a consultant for them, where I can at least offer crew things that promote a better working environment for them and a safer working environment and a more professional one in the terms of the, you know, the companies that I can recommend to them that I know do a good job. And just basically sort the wheat out from the chaff and get rid of. I mean, I wouldn't, if I was a stewardess and I end up on a boat where I'm working for a guy, I don't know how I'd feel about it.
Well, I mean, I think it's important, and I think it's very comforting to know that a lot of yachts are starting to think about that side of things, because the stories that you hear back from a lot of the female crew and male crew too, it's not just purely females. Male crew are also harassed, sexually harassed on board.
I've been threatened to be sued for outing something that's in public record, which isn't possible. But I think that there's a lot of people relying on the people that are doing these sort of things. I hate bullies. I've bullied it to this day. I've got no time for it. So if someone wants to bully someone, I'll bully them. You know, I'll pull that out of the bag and just go, there you go. That's what you're dealing with. They rely on the silence of the people that they are affecting, and that allows them to continue doing it. And I don't think anyone in any workplace should put up with something to that extent. And so there you go. So basically, that's Crew Pass. So if you want your own criminal record bureau checks, crew, and you got nothing to hide and you want it to speed up your visas or you want help with that, if you quote Wolfpack, because...
Well, do you know what? You're going to send me all that information. We'll make sure to...
I'm going to send you all that information. If you're captain of a vessel and you want the crew CRB checked, that's cool as well. Management companies, if you want to talk to us, I'm open to that. Crew, if you want to be part of a job board where you get... We'll get you a job. We'll get you preferential rates on training at leading schools. For instance, I mean, Mark Yannicka at the MSA, if I get you through to them, you get 20% off at any course residentially there. I'm speaking with Pantropic in the States. They're the best Caterpillar dealer there. A guy called Doug Patterson, Made to Measure Fenders. He's a British company. He's opened a Dutch office so he can combat, obviously, you know, all the trade. The restrictions that Brexit
created. The headaches of Brexit, yeah.
Oh, my God. And you know, these British companies that are struggling with that. Sorry, my housemate's just leaving. These British companies are struggling with that at the moment.
Do you know, I have to laugh. I'm sorry. I do have to laugh because I am seeing on my social media, all of these people that were like so pro-Brexit, right? Pro-Brexit. And they were living in Europe. And then all of a sudden, they're like,
what's happening in Spain with that, Rio? Sorry to interrupt you. Are people there now, if they haven't got residency, are they sort of having to come home?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, even if they own homes here. I mean, there's people that own homes here. They voted for Brexit.
Really bitten them on the arse.
Well, yeah, because they can only come and spend 90 days at their holiday home. And it's like, you know what? You were the ones that voted for it, and everybody was telling you, don't be an idiot. And you take a look, you know, one of the biggest promises of the whole Brexit situation was that your healthcare system was going to get a hell of a lot better. Sure as hell ain't happening.
That's not going to happen.
Anything is getting right.
Whether you voted for it or not, I mean, I do. It does. We're going to get punished for it for quite a while. We're like on the naughty step of Europe now, aren't we? For a while. I don't know what you might be able to advise me on how I could become Canadian, perhaps. I don't know. But yeah, again, other British companies, I think they're great companies and they belong in the industry. Dudley, Made to Measure Fenders. Ed Taylor, Taylor Made Uniforms, great guy. Ruth Douglas at Heirlooms Linens, always been a wonderful customer. The guys at Viking, Liam at Wilson Allegan, he's a great guy. Ed Ewer doing super yacht land-based jobs for crew if they want to get off the boat. Another good bloke. Mark Patman, roaming expert. Brilliant crew tariffs. Oh, by the way, if you're USA or South African crew or you're non-European crew and you want a roaming expert SIM card, speak to us because it comes as part of the crewing package. Tyler Betts at Infinity. Rebecca Whitlock, someone who works with you a lot. I've got massive time for her and the way she reports on different things. Mark Lincoln, English expat, lives in Gibraltar, World Marine Service, best agent there. I mean, you're on Palmer, aren't you? Who would I go to? Christy Hollingsworth at Estrella for an agency is phenomenal. So's Bayer Alonso and Guillermo at Evolution. They've both been very good to me over the years. Russ Fennick at Naughty Parts for toys. These are the sort of networks that you build up in your brain from doing what I've done for the last 10 years. And if that in any way can benefit crew and enrich their day-to-day working life so they feel a bit cuddled and a bit fluffed, then I'm all for it, you know? So just make sure you mention me when you go to them, because I've got to earn some money somehow.
Well, James, you know what? I have to say we're hitting that mark where if we carry on the interview, it's not going to be able to fit up on Instagram, very important.
I've got a friend coming over for dinner, so I've got to start prepping.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'd like to have you back again because I know that
I'd love to come back.
You have been doing some amazing cooking.
One other guy I forgot to mention who has worked with you, Ben at HMS. Why are yachts not buying HMS gin? It is fantastic gin. Forget about bloody Tanqueray or whatever it is that you the preferred one. HMS gins. He's a yachty guy. He does cocktail seminars. Ben Maguire is a great bloke. He's always looked after me for gin for pop-up restaurants.
He is my friend. And you know what? He does a show.
Recommend his
he does a show every Friday night right here on Yachting International Radio.
Yeah, he's a good guy as well. So there you go.
He's sweet.
So anyway, you know, thank you for having me on and talking to Albert. Whether the kickback of that and whatever happens will happen. But it's nice to be back in the industry. Looking forward to a new year with a fresh mentality and a fresh perspective and some good things that I'm working on. I'm really grateful for that. And I'm really grateful for you for having me on, Rhea. So thank you.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure. And it's so nice to reconnect, James. And I hope that we continue this conversation on, you know, personally and as well on air in the future.
Of course we will. Okay. Lovely. Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. You've been watching James Williams right here on Yachting International Radio. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again. Thank you.